This is On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink and Janet Allison.
After more than 3 years of On Boys episodes, we now have nearly 200 different episodes. We recently hit 600,000 downloads, and we're betting that you probably haven't heard all of the great stuff in our archives. So we are busting open the archives to share some encore episodes with you this month. We hope you enjoy this very special On Boys episode.
Hey, Jen, do you give your kids vitamins?
You know, I hadn't for the longest time because I couldn't find any vitamins that I liked. So much of it out there, it was like gummy candy.
And chemicals and unnatural products and things you can't pronounce. Listeners, I really encourage you to look at the vitamin labels that you're giving your kids, because we know that they can't get all their nutrition through the foods they eat. You said your son's primary food group is popcorn, and we know there's not a lot of nutritional value in popcorn. A
lot of fiber, but not so strong on the other essential vitamins and minerals.
Yeah. So we recently connected with Hiya Health, and we sampled their vitamins. Your kids sampled these chewable vitamins. And
my nieces and nephews sampled these vitamins as well. We happened to have them in town, and so I let them try them, and they loved them.
All right, because they didn't know this, but there is a blend of 12 farm fresh fruits and veggies, all organic, in these vitamins, and they don't have the gummy junk and the sugar and the chemicals that are pretty prevalent in most vitamins.
Super prevalent. And that's why I really think these vitamins are a good choice. If you are looking to boost your son's nutrition, if you're worried about what he might be missing out eating his diet of popcorn or who knows what else, this is a good option. We have worked out an exclusive offer with Hiya Health for these vitamins. This is just for our On Boys listeners. You can get 50% off. That's half off your first order. So to claim this deal, go to Hiya Health/On Boys. Or you can just enter the code ONBOYS at checkout. That's Hiya, HIYAHEALTH.com/ONBOYS.
Get your kids the full body nourishment that they need to grow into healthy adults. That's HIYAHEALTH.com/ONBOYS. Remember back before the pandemic? Many of us parented with the notion that if we just did everything right, our kids would be successful, motivated, resilient, down to earth, and we parents could then just ride off into the sunset, happy and healthy and harmonious, with the satisfaction of a job well done. Realistic? Maybe not. But then enter the pandemic, schooling and working from home and looking now a whole new school year in the eyes with no relief in sight. And we wonder, how can we possibly manage it all? What do we let go of? And are they the right things to let go of? What do we keep? And are they the right things to keep? How do we simply just trust ourselves as parents? Our guest today, Megan Leahy, is the Washington Post's On Parenting expert, a parent coach, and the author of a brand new amazing book entitled Parenting Outside the Lines. Forget the rules, tap into your wisdom, and connect with your child. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
We're excited to have you. You know, I have to say the title alone captured my interest because it highlights what we've forgotten as a society, I think, and that is encouraging parents to tap into their wisdom and trust their gut. What prompted you to write a book from this perspective?
Laziness.
No, you're not going to get away with that because, Megan, I also am a writer, and I know that you cannot lazily write a book. So you can come up with the idea from laziness, but then you do a shit ton of hard, agonizing work.
Okay, you know what? Okay, you're right.
Full disclosure. So,
when I thought about what I wanted to say, I say laziness because I didn't want to do any data. I didn't want to studies say. And as I say in my book, I haven't yet found a parent who's really changed their parenting from studies say. Like, I've never told a parent, like, well, studies say if you don't yell, your kid will be happier. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't know that. Now I'll stop yelling. Okay. Yeah. Like,
oh, well, if only it were that easy.
Right. So, and there's also so many good books out there that are trying to keep up with the data, which is yeoman's work. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to write a book about some back to the basics stuff, about some, really, it's kind of like a love letter to hundreds and hundreds and thousands of parents I've worked with in my coaching and through the Washington Post. Just the stuff I hear all the time with an angled toward connection. So when you look at connection, there is a lot of data around it, but I also think we have a lot of common sense around it if we mm-hmm. allow ourselves to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And if we can deflect all of the data, all of the parenting books that we've read and the judgment of our in-laws and our sisters and, you know, other parents out there, and really go inward and trust that wisdom and that you know your child best.
You know, what's interesting for me is that so much of the data that is out there can be distilled down to connect with your child. First mm-hmm. primary, we had Michael Reichert yes. on, you know, yes. a year or so ago, and his beautiful book about raising boys, it's all about connection. And it's not a uniquely boy thing. Girls certainly need connection too. It's just understanding their specific challenges will help you connect with them than if you don't have those understandings of the challenges. But connect is the key.
And, you know, for a while, I used to be a teacher of all boys. And yeah, I was like obsessed with boys. I grew up with a brother. I married a guy with two brothers. I taught all boys for a number of years. I went back as a school counselor for all boys. So as I had my own kids, I'm like, I can't wait to have these boys. So of course, I have three girls because that's God's way of punishing me. But for my
call it humbling, years. Humbling,
yes.
Megan.
Yes. Oh, they're a joy and they teach me. I became a parent educator, and it was just very strategy heavy, right? So it was using kind of attachment theory, but really toward the end of using strategies that had a behavioral bent, which I have no problem with. But I couldn't figure out, as I say in the book, why often parents failed. Mm-hmm. Good, mm-hmm. hardworking parents, and some parents were successful. But the strategy was the same. And they were clearly implementing the strategies, the charts, the marble jars, all that crap, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I met Gordon Neufeld and dove into his work that I understood that the strategies are neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
There are, one could work, one couldn't. One might be the answer, one may not. But if the underpinning of a compassionate, boundaried connection isn't there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And that's such an unsexy message, right? Because parents are like, but, there's got to be. And I'm like,
And what I really, I got from your book is that pretty much everything is okay. All the, you know, attachment parenting, love and logic, da-da-da, all the name, all the big neon signs of the things. And right. they're out there, they're fine, whatever resonates with you. And bottom line, you still have to connect with your child. And in that is connecting with yourself. And so I'm really curious, your thoughts on how far we have gotten away from being able to listen to and trust ourselves, and how we get back to that place of listening to and trusting ourselves. You call it a path back to your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're far away. Mm-hmm. We're not as far as we think, though. You know, the good thing about American culture is how independent we are. And the bad thing about American culture is how independent we are. The suburban pull your car into the garage and shut the door and live in your house, stay smaller.
Safer.
Safer.
Air quotes.
There's not a lot of vulnerability. And so what springs up is we don't have what we used to have with all that, just like meeting on the streets with your neighbors, your aunties, your grandma, your sister, and be like, hey, my son's a wreck. And they'll be like, oh, totally. Yep. That's how it is. Right.
That's why we spend so much of our time saying to people, it's normal. It's normal. Like, you talk to other parents, other families of boys, other teachers of boys, they're saying the same things, but you're right. Because we are not in constant connection, we don't necessarily see that. So we, because of how we're wired, we assume we are the problem. Our boy is the problem.
Absolutely. And there's so much posturing among parents. And so I'm actually in the unique position of both being the problem and being the solution. When people call me, it's because they're not listening to themselves. And people like me encourage listening to someone else.
Yeah, right.
So my work ends up being, well, what do you think that means? Well, why do you think it got like that? Well, what, mm-hmm. right? Like, constantly asking questions, and they'll be like, I don't know. And I'll be like, huh, me neither.
Yeah.
Right. And let's like sit with that, because there's also this misunderstanding in parenting that we should know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That if we're suffering, we're doing it wrong. That if we're confused, you know, I talk in my book about, you know, if you haven't stood outside your kid's door and been like, I don't know what the F to do, I'm just standing here. If I go in, I'll destroy my relationship. If I stand here, I'm losing ground. If you haven't had that moment, it's coming, or you're not parenting.
Yeah.
You're doing something.
Listeners, you can't see Janet and I. We are both just nodding our heads right now, because I've been outside that door more than once. And Janet has heard me say so many times, you know, it's easy for me to be on the podcast and talk about things and know what to do. And then I have to go interact with my actual real human children mm-hmm. as my human self. And it suddenly gets a whole lot more complicated.
Yeah. And I've stood outside that door, and I've also taken that door off of the bedroom.
And that's the thing, right? Because we want to, I don't know why. I mean, there's a lot of reasons culturally and countrywide, everything, psychologically, the changes in our country, both good, bad, and indifferent. But we are obsessed with getting it right. We're obsessed mm-hmm. with knowing. We don't want the discomfort. So connecting with yourself means getting comfortable with a lot of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And some kids bring that out more in us than others. You know, everyone wants to say, we like to swing into polarities, right? Like, I have an easy kid, or I have a horrible childhood, I can't parent anyone, or my kid has needs. And so I can't do it. And we just
mm-hmm. swing. Yeah.
And we're always looking like, oh, how come they can do it? And it's just a mishmash.
Yeah.
Like the idea of just it all, just the humanity of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question that, you know, getting comfortable with a lot of discomfort is crucial to parenting, to life. And I'm wondering if, in your opinion, you're thinking, it's something that we are all having to practice a lot right now with living through the pandemic. right? Like, we have had to live with discomfort and the not knowing and not knowing what's right for many, many months now. It may go on who knows how long. Do you think that there is some, it's hard to say upside, right? But do you think that this experience may help some of us as parents, as humans, kind of learn to tolerate and live in that discomfort?
Yeah, but you got to choose it. You got to choose it. So we will look out into the world and be like, that person's making sourdough and I'm slipping into an anxiety spiral. They're better. I'm crap. And I never want to sell that mental health is a choice. I'm on all kinds of medications. I could probably be on more, but it is still a choice to decide to learn. It's still a choice to say, okay, well, this is a garbage fire. And instead of but, and what have I learned about my child here? What have I learned about myself?
Yeah.
I was reading Simplicity Parenting again.
Kim Jong Payne.
Yes. So somebody came and said, you know, things are going really well. And I said, you shouldn't be ashamed. And I think a lot of us are finding a true rhythm in our lives that we lost, I don't know, decades ago. You could take it back to the light bulb. Who knows, right?
Right.
There is a rhythm, if we allow it,
yeah,
of sleep, of eating, of play, of work, that we have through artificiality and both good and bad things wiped out. So yeah, I do think there is room for parents to look at their kids and go, huh, so here's how we kind of roll with our lives.
And I have had some parents say, you know, wow, I'm seeing my kids so differently now, spending so much time with them and getting to know them in a different way than just the few hours in the morning or in the evening when they're off at school all day, that they've had an opportunity to really see their kids for who they truly are.
I just wrote a column because I'm thinking of a boy example, especially for you guys. Somebody wrote in and said, my boy loves soccer. He's on the rec team. He isn't on the best team. And he plays and he loves to practice and he plays with his friends and they just canceled the season. They're doing a skills group, but he doesn't want to do it. What should I do? Right. And it's funny because I know if I were coaching her and I'd say, what do you think you should do? We would come to the conclusion that I was pretty much like, it's time for some bribery. Here is a boy who has shown you he loves to move in soccer with his friends. It's an object in motion stays in motion, and an object not in motion tends to stop. Yep. And we're watching our teens and our boys just crawl to a dead stop.
And many of us, let's be honest. I went through that definitely at a point. I'm getting better. I'm trying to pull myself out of it, but it's so hard. That object that stopped takes a lot of momentum. And guys, we're talking physics now here.
That's
legitimate
right.
Legitimate physics.
Get that rolling again. It's hard work.
And it's amazing because pre-pandemic, I would have been like, well, let's look at your schedule. Is this really needed? Let's give him a choice. Blah, 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 blah. Now I'm like, what can you buy him?
Yeah. He needs to move. How are you going to make him move?
How can you take him for something to eat after every skill thing? Because teen boys and movement with dopamine and cortisol and sleep and
all of it. Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm answering your question.
I
want to stay with that one for just a second, though, because I'll be honest, I heard the question and my reaction was different than yours.
Yeah.
Your point makes perfect sense. And I don't think it's a bad idea. I think I'm like, yeah, that's pretty smart. My first reaction would be to let him not do the skills thing because maybe the skills, like maybe what he really thrives on is the competition, and take out the competition and it's just not the same. And maybe in taking a break from it, he would discover something else about himself that he wouldn't have had a chance to discover otherwise.
Yep.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm wondering, like, we might be back to the beginning. Like, in the end, does it really make a difference? As long as you keep those lines of communication and connection open with your son.
That's right. Yeah. And in the column, I essentially say, sit down with him and say, the evidence shows you love this.
Yes.
You've always loved this.
Yes.
This is a thing you do, right? And daddy and I, or mommy, or whoever, caretaker A, has never forced you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the evidence.
I can just imagine saying, caretaker A has observed that.
Say, and then I would say to the kid, that this is canceled sucks.
Yep.
It's just another part of pandemic nuttiness.
Yeah.
And I get you don't want to do the skills thing, because that sucks. That's not a game. But let's give it a shot. If it sucks, we'll quit. But I'll take you for a slice. I'll take you through McDonald's. We'll go get a milkshake. Let's just give it a try, because the evidence shows you like this.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Right. Yeah. Again, are we going to put the relationship, to your point, right? Are we going to put the relationship on the line? No. But if you don't go, I take away the Xbox. You don't get to ride your bike. No. In pandemic times, movement is so important. Mental health for these boys is so important. I am like, what can we do?
And I think part of what you're saying too, Megan, is this place of, we serve as our children's witness, their observer, their outside conscience, if you will, of just of saying, I see you really like this. How can we keep it going in a way that's still fun? And it may not be the skill classes, but you do need to move your body. And that is a non-negotiable, because that is exercise and mental health. So what are the alternatives? Oh, well, guess what? There's no alternatives. And I still love soccer and I still want to do that. So, okay, let's try the skills class.
Yeah.
And you'll be in shape for when we open up and have soccer again.
And as a parent, I have a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 16-year-old. You know, I'm like, I'll pick up all the kids, you know, safely, you know,
masked up,
or, you know, I'll gather up all the kids. I'll feed them all. I'll bring all the Flaming Hot Cheetos. I will, right? Like, I start doing things that pre-pandemic, I may have said, don't baby them. Don't make it so easy.
Yeah.
Don't set them up. The kids need us. I mean, I just love that you use witness to both witness what you've seen to kind of move them forward, and then to like make it easier.
Yeah.
Because everything's been taken away.
Yeah.
Everything's
hard. Yeah.
I really appreciate you making that point and acknowledging it, you know, straight up. Like, this pandemic has changed things for everybody. And so, yes, you can change up your parenting and do things that you would not normally have done, because your kids need more from you in some ways. And I don't mean that more to be like overwhelming, added onto the list. It's just, you can't have the same expectations of your 10-year-old, you know, 6 months into a pandemic that you would have had if none of this had happened.
Not every American parent, but well-meaning parents will try to grow resilience and independence without deep kindness. And it was said to me like this in the Neufeld Institute. It's like if I'm with my husband and his groceries, he is holding groceries and he drops his car keys and he looks at me and I say, well, technically you can get them yourself, so I won't.
Yeah. Wow. Not kind.
So technically, my kids can do a lot. Technically. But the kind thing is for me to get my butt up and make these meals. They can make their own breakfast. But how loving is it that I make a quick yogurt parfait? And they're like, thanks, Mom. They can do all these things. But adding a little bit of love in whatever form your children need it in, and kindness, doesn't spoil. people.
It role models how to love others, how to show compassion to others. And whether or not they can make those connections right now at the age of, you know, 5, 6, 8, 16.
They won't, right.
Right? But it's in their brain. It is in their brain as an example that they have seen, experienced, and lived. And it will be there when they're 40.
This reminds me of a conversation Jen and I were having about son is in the, you know, playing video games and it's time to come to dinner. And he's saying, I want to finish, let me finish this game. Let me finish this level. And you're, you know, you've got, you're dug in. It's like, no, it's time to come and eat dinner. And Jen was saying, you know, just put it on the back burner for a little bit, let him finish his game and then have dinner. That it's not, we get stuck into, this is how things should be. This is, it has to be this way. And what I love, love, love about your book, Megan, is that you are giving permission to, you know what? Sometimes you're gonna give them the candy. Sometimes you're gonna delay the meal and it is absolutely fine.
Who holds the power in the family is kind of what dictates. And I have a couple of chapters that highlight this, but who holds the power is what dictates how problematic often things will become, right? Especially for the little kids. Power is a scary word in the parenting world. It is considered very masculine, very toxic, very, you know, CEO feeling. But in the way I see it is, if the parent has the power and the spaghetti's ready, but the parent says, I've chosen for you to finish this game with your friend. I've chosen to give you 10 minutes. You still have the power. You've stopped the struggle and you've made room for your child to do that.
Yeah.
Right. If you choose to celebrate the end of the week, like I am tonight with Sundays, right? We're making a Sunday bar, right? It's been a garbage fire week, okay? Yes. It has not been like, but we got through it, right? Yeah. First week of digital learning, and I'm like, here we go. That's my choice. Mm-hmm. It's my choice if we decide to eat pizza and watch Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So if you choose that, that creates a feeling of safety and security, and who, and it sets up who's in charge. And then when you say, no, we're going to eat dinner, or no, the video game's off, you're still in your power. Mm-hmm. The problem becomes when our kids talk us out of our power, we ask them what they want, we give fake options, we give fake choices. Well, you know, do you want 5 minutes? Do you want blah, blah, blah? All this back and forth that we call positive parenting, but it's just weak. And then we expect the kids to be like, I'm sorry, I've taken so much power. Let me give it back. Which an immature person never will.
Right.
They'll never be like, wow, I've gone too far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listeners, if any of your children have ever done that, email us immediately and let us know. And we will let Megan know, and you might win an award.
Yeah, then I quit. And
then they can write the column.
Right? But, you know, back to kind of your point, parents are obsessed with finding a way, the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Consistency has become this gold standard. And I just find that most people are doing things consistently wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that doesn't work for your family.
Mm-hmm.
You have an ADHD boy, you have a baby, you have a spouse that doesn't come home. Why are you using this routine?
Yeah.
It's never worked, or you've grown out of it, or the brains have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're consistently miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Time to look at that. Right. I want to make sure that we talk about this because it's like the number one thing on parents' list, especially since the pandemic, is the amount of time on screens. And I love, have I said I love your book yet? I think I've said it a few times. I love that, parenting outside the lines. And I think I really resonate with that because I have kind of lived my life outside the lines. According to my family, I'm like the black sheep and oh my gosh, she's having a home birth. What the heck? Things like that. But I love that you have several chapters about screens, but the first chapter is about parents and screens, not about kids and screens. Mm-hmm. So talk about parents and screens.
And why that chapter was first. Why, like that was clearly a deliberate decision on your part.
Yeah, because I did not write this book during a pandemic, right? I wrote this book 700 years ago.
Yeah, at least.
At least. I didn't even have kids. No, I'm kidding. I really wrote it because I am addicted to technology. I am addicted to my phone. I am addicted to Words with Friends, this game called Wooden Blocks. It's like Tetris. Ooh. I am addicted to Twitter now, which is a garbage fire. Instagram, Facebook, my email, my fake self-importance associated with that, texts, just put it on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
I am not, though, different from anyone else. So I had to write that chapter for myself and to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cannot ask more immature people to take accountability for things that we do not.
Can you see us nodding our heads, dear listener?
Right. We are both
getting neckache over here.
We're nodding so vigorously. And, you know, we're talking specifically about tech right now, but I feel like we've had this conversation about so many things, about consent, about respect, about whatever.
Temper tantrums, big emotions. Right.
We cannot expect our children to have this down when we, the adults, clearly do not have it figured out and examples are rampant and everywhere. So yes, we got to tackle ourselves first.
And this is not, and then, you know, most parents will, well, we're not the same. And no, parents and children are not the same. This is my work device. My phone is my work.
Yeah.
We don't have the same rules. Children and adults don't share the same rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if we really connect into ourselves, we know when we're BSing ourselves. We know, especially when we're doing the fake listening.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to write a chapter about where are your eyes?
Yes, I loved that.
If your eyes are on your screen, don't pretend you're listening to anyone else.
Yeah.
Period. So if you have to check an email, I say to my kid, pardon me, I don't mean to be rude. I'm waiting for an email. I'm going to check this really quick.
And again, you're role modeling what to do in that circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If I don't want to listen to my kid's 20-minute story, right, and I can feel myself picking up my phone, I have a decision to make.
Yeah.
I can say to my child, I'm loving the story, but I'm losing my focus. We're going to have to put a pin in it. Or I have to pull up my big girl panties and just listen and maybe make an internal grocery list. I don't know, but I have to. I mean, I make so many lists listening to my kids.
Right. Jen talks about, you know, Fortnite, Minecraft, lawnmowers. I have to hear one more thing about lawnmowers.
All
Are you
time,
kidding?
All the time, all the time.
Yep.
Now, I will say, and this might be more of a boy-specific thing than a girl-specific thing, there are times where I strategically use my phone and make it a point to look at my phone and not my children, because some boys are more comfortable talking when they don't have eye contact with you.
Yes.
So there are times now, and Janet's heard me say this before, like, I can't be reading, you know, a Megan Leahy Washington Post parenting column then, because that engages my brain. I have to be playing like a stupid mindless game.
That's right. And so to your point, right? So for some kids, eye contact, because eye contact is the most vulnerable thing we can do. mm-hmm. with another human. And for some kids, that's too intense. It's coming in hot. And so if we look at eye contact, if you trust your own gut and you know your own kids, and you say, okay, so we're not going to sit knee to knee and be like, so let's
tell
go
about your day.
Inner lives. Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you I'm going to try that after school and I will report back, ladies.
Yeah. We'll hear the screams from here.
Probably.
The point is, if you start to play wooden blocks and they go into, well, first I was in this, and then this kid said this, and I said this, and then the teacher, blah, 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 and I felt, and you're going, mm-hmm, but you are listening.
Yes.
You are reflecting back what they're saying. You are mirroring a conversation. People know when you're connected and when you're not,
mm-hmm.
in terms of plugged in.
Kids yeah. are dead on at sensing that.
And so some boys, they will love that. You will sit almost even butt to butt on a couch while you both play something and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Some boys, they will. I mean, I love kids because they'll go, look at me.
Yeah.
Kids will tell us what they need.
Yeah.
Look at me. They'll say it. So I want parents to just own their own stuff with their tech. And you have multiple kids in your house. If you do, then you have multiple different ways of being with each kid.
Yeah.
And that's hard too.
Yeah.
But you're up for it. Most parents are already doing it. They just don't even know.
Right. It's the constancy of you think you have it figured out with one child and it doesn't work with the next child. And then it might work with the third child. And then you're back at square one because, oh, they've had a growth spurt or they're, you know, they got more mature. So I've then said, what?
I've said to my kids sometimes, because, you know, we'll get into a back and forth. And I'm like, listen, you've never been 13 and I've never parented you at 13.
Yes.
So like, let's give each other a little bit of grace here. Let's yeah. be easy on each other. Yeah. And then they usually just look at me like, aren't you a parent coach? I'm like, not right? for you little jerks.
Not for you, for everybody else. Oh, Megan, we could just talk for hours and hours. I tell you, this has been just a fabulous conversation. And I know that our listeners are probably wondering where they can find more of you.
So mlparentcoach.com has my coaching, my columns, I have online classes. You can get the book there. Everything is there that you need.
I'll put the link in there. And I'm sure from your website, they can find you on all the socials and follow you, Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm really appreciative. I have a lot of hope for boys.
Thank you.
I think that, yeah, again, the world is full of bad news because that's what gets headlines. That's what's clicky. But I have seen in my lifetime changes that I never thought I would see. And I see like really great things for boys and how parents are trying.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate this podcast because parents of boys need positive voices and realistic voices too.
Thank you so much. And I just want to circle back to the beginning for a minute, Janet, because in your intro, you were talking about how we as parents thought if we do everything right, we are going to end up with successful, self-motivated, resilient, down-to-earth children, right? And I mean, I think we've made the point that that's not realistic. You know what the good news is? I did not do everything right. My kids, I can bring them down here. They will tell you everything I did wrong. Guess what? I have successful, self-motivated, resilient children right now. Mm-hmm. I have a 22-year-old living independently. My 20-year-old is stuck here due to college reasons, but they are resilient, amazing people in spite of the mistakes I made because mm-hmm. we stayed connected more or less through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's right. We moved from... This idea of holding the babies, we're so enmeshed. And then we start to become the net that the kids fall into when they need us. And if we can let ourselves move in that development, right? The net, though, is still as strong as the embrace. Mm-hmm. You know, that strength and that connection, it's just that the relationship can tolerate the distance, both emotional and physical. But that net of love never stops.
Never.
You know? No. And in fact, we're like, could you fall into this net a little more? Sometimes? Get out of the net.
Get in, get out, get in, get out.
Yeah. But I think that's great. I think that's, yeah, it's, Megan, it's day by day.
And you know, I love that too. Like we, each of us, we talk to others about parenting, and yet I love, okay, this will sound incredibly arrogant probably, but what I love about us is that like we're each being honest about our own struggles too. You don't have every moment figured out with your girls. Janet, your girls are all grown up, but you still don't always know the right thing to do. I don't know the right thing to do. And I think the more of us who are honest about that, the easier we make it for everybody else in the world. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to love your kids and try.
And releasing yourself from knowing can help you enjoy parenting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Because modern parenting and because of people like me, it's this thing that we're getting through. It's this thing we are tolerating, dragging along, waiting till they're 18. But when I forgive myself, and more importantly, forgive my family members, I'm like, hey, next moment, yeah, it's okay. Look at how human we're all being.
Yeah. Like, and this is it. Like we, you know, these are the moments. These are the moments. I mean, my kids are grown and gone, and it's so cliche, but I'll tell you what, it goes really fast. And so to relax and enjoy it and be okay with the mess.
Totally. That I needed to hear that today. So thank you. Because look at my house.
Yeah.
Megan, I may well enjoy a Sunday tonight. Thanks to your encouragement.
Yay!
And listen, that pizza while watching Star Wars, that is a win for almost every boy family all the time. So parents, feel free to steal these very easy ideas.
More fun.
More fun. Thank you, Megan. This has been more fun. Thanks for being with us. Yay.
Thanks, guys. I'm so appreciative.
If you liked this episode, if you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing On Boys Podcast with your friends. They can find us wherever they listen to their favorite podcast, whether they use an Apple, an Android, they listen in their car, they listen from their computer. Please tell your friends about On Boys, and together we will make the world a better place for boys.